Thank you for having me. It's a real honor to be ministering here tonight. I really feel the glory quite thick here tonight. I've actually got a free CD. This is actually a CD. It actually came out of the... I'm actually not a singer-songwriter. I'm actually can only play the instrument when the Holy Spirit falls on me. I can only write the lyrics when God actually releases what he wants to say. And when I went through my accident and a few other trials along the way, this is actually, I released this one at the start of the year. I've got a new one, To Be Your Fire. That's my latest one. But this one sort of is a bit of from my testimony leading up to where I am today. So who would like a free copy? Someone come out here because I can't go over there. Anyone come? I just want you to know that you guys are free too. It's not about me, it's about God right now. So right now, I don't know how you feel when you get into the presence of God, but I just give you freedom. If you feel to stand, if you feel to sit. But God wants you to participate right now. And right now, God, we just give you control. We give you complete control, Lord God. Let your fire fall, Lord God. Stay right where you're at right now. I just really feel God saying that he wants to break every thought that you have, what you think love is. And people say, oh, I'm so in love with my first love. But God really wants to speak to you tonight saying that my first love is not the time you came to know me again. It's from the beginning of birth where he breathed you into existence. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. Every second of the day. He wants you to come into that very first breath that released you into motion, that breathed you into life. That's where breakthrough is. That is the key that unlocks everything. That's where he wants you to be. And that's where the fire stirs. In fact, he actually birthed you in fire. You are a fire son and daughter. You are birthed for glory. You are birthed for power. And when we accepted Jesus in our heart, that's our humbleness. We say, God, we yield to you. And can you see the impact of how it flows, where the impact just increases? Because we come into agreement saying, God, I am your son and daughter. I am your breath here on earth. In fact, I actually breathe you in again every day. And I exhale you out into this world. And that's what he wants you to do, is breathe him in and exhale him out. It's all about him. If you feel led to take your seat, you're more than welcome. I'm just going to share a portion of my testimony tonight. And it was the most impacting experience I've had in my life. Apart from the heaven part, I wouldn't want to go through it again. And, you know, people say to me, you know, what's it like being back on earth? Actually, heaven is in me all the time. Actually, I've never stepped out of heaven. In fact, you guys should never step out of heaven either. You are. You are the breath of God. You know, heaven is in you. And this day, I was actually... Who's heard my testimony? Anyone? Not many? Okay. I'll go from the start. I was riding a push bike home from work, and I was a youth pastor at the time, and I left my car at home because I was trying to get fit. And as a few k's to home, and I jumped on my bike, and it was probably as dark as this from outside, and I was jumping on the bike. I went down this particular hill, and I said I was doing about 60 k's. I had a bike helmet on and all the lights and all that stuff, but it was very dusk in that street where there's no light streets at all, except for right on the very corner, which I went past, and I saw this tradesman's ute parked on the side. Right, yeah, just in a parking area. So I swerved to miss, but I saw one ladder rack, but I didn't see another ladder rack that was sticking in a funny position. And I swerved, and as I swerved, I actually impacted the heel of that ladder. You know the part where you put on the ground to start going out? So I went straight through from my nose right to the back of my head and out the other side. And straight away from that moment, I felt the impact, but I slowly started feeling the breath of God coming out of me. And by the time I felt my head hit the back of the road right here, that was it. I was gone. And I remember from that instant, it was like a second, I was just standing in heaven above my body. And I remember looking down, and the bike was still moving in motion, going underneath this particular ute. And it stopped in a spot where the lights were not shining anywhere at all. On the road, you couldn't see the bikes on the lights flashing on the push bike at all. And I saw this car that was coming. As I was laying right in the centre of the road, I saw this car that was coming towards my body, and I could see the two people in the car, and they're just talking about their girlfriend and boyfriend at the time. I actually got to meet them at a very long time after my accident, which was a bit of an honour, actually. They're the ones who actually called the ambulance. And they were driving past, and at the last second, they just must have saw me. They thought I was a dog on the side of the road. So they swerved, and as they swerved, they actually ran over the rest of my head where the helmet was and flattened that part. And I remember just, because God was literally right there with me, obviously. And I remember saying, God, I think I'm staying. I'm staying this time. And I remember from that moment, I actually swung around. I could see my body, which was, I like to say it's in a spirit form, where it looked like rivers of living water running through it. And I was actually standing right in the waters were coming out of this great big pearly gate that was right in front of me as I swung around. And I remember seeing these gates because the amazing thing about these gates is I could see the glory of God coming out of these gates. But the thing is, it was actually bulging back and forth. You know, like when the wind opens up a door and there's light behind it and you can see all the cracks are showing the light and peering through the light. That's exactly what it was like. And it's just like it's like these doors just... These gates just couldn't contain. They just wanted to swing wide open. And I remember standing in before these gates, and I had my hands just stretched out like this, both of them, you know, left and right. And on this side here, I could see it was just like a movie camera of my life that I'd lived right up to that very moment. Everything I did with my family, everything I was just been doing with the youth group, all that kind of stuff. And then on the other side, I could see the moment that Jesus came into my life, the very existence, that everything that I went through with Jesus on earth. And without me trying to do anything, my actually hands came together without me trying anything. It just happened. And as they came together, that's when the gates just came flying open. Wow. And as these gates came flying, it was like I was actually drawn in with a breath. It was like it was actually sucking me in. And I remember stepping on this, it felt like a bit of a rise. And I could see this figure. It was just, it was like an image of something that I was standing on, but I couldn't quite work it out because it was just, it was full with fire. It was filled with so much light that it was actually very hard to see what it actually was I was standing on. And in the distance, I could see the image of God. And I'm talking distance. And yet it was so huge. I could see the image and the outline. I could see his eyes. I could see the nose. I could see the face. But I actually couldn't see it like I see your face today. It was just burning with so much glory, with so much fire. It was so intensifying, in fact, that, you know, I could feel the heat that was just generating from it. And I could only see the outline just because it was just so light. And I realized from that moment that there was actually the Father's hand that I was actually standing on at the time. And as he just slipped me off, Jesus was just there to meet me. I could see Jesus on the side, but I was just so in awe of what I was just going through at that time. And I remember having a feeling as I saw Jesus just coming up to me, he's taking my hand, and he gave me a warm hug. And he was dressed in kind of like skins that were robes that were coming down here. He had kind of like shoes that were, not shoes, but just kind of like those tribal boots that's full of skin. And, you know, he had sashes of red that were down across the front and across over the shoulders. And as he came up there, I just remember feeling this experience of needing nothing. I felt so complete. I felt so whole. I never had that feeling before until that moment, where there's nothing I ever wanted. There's nothing I lacked. There's nothing I desired, because I had it. I literally had it, and my heart was full. And as I was walking with Jesus, I actually started changing images quite a lot. I didn't stay in that form. I actually changed form quite a lot. And I remember one of my Bible heroes when I was young was John the Baptist. And I've always wanted to see John the Baptist. And I saw John the Baptist just walking past, and he waved and said, "Hi, Mark." And off he went that way. And I saw a few Bible characters there that I actually really... I saw Paul, which he was another one of my favourites. And I just remember Jesus just taking me on this journey. I was actually standing in the inner courts, and it was actually like paved with gold on both sides, and it had silver even on the side, but it wasn't like a silver that we have in silver wrapping. And I could see the gems that were all paved all around the side. There was pillars that were just incredibly shaped, not like we see like Roman pillars. It was shaped in different forms and figures. And the funny thing was that you go to touch them, but your hand can go through it. And I remember picking up these jewels that were there, and they're so crystallized, but they're nothing like crystal that we have on earth. It was so formed and cut in a way that when you actually turned it, it would actually shine, and you could see images on them. And you'd turn it upside down, and you'd see different stuff that would actually be on that jewel, that gem that I picked up. And as I would turn it face, I actually could see my family on earth. I actually could see my parents getting the phone call to say that something's happened. And as I put that down, Jesus took me through many rooms. I went through 11 realms in one stage, which I can't speak all about that tonight. But there's one room that I really feel led to speak about here tonight, and that's the passion room. And one of the passion room, I don't know if it's actually labelled that. It doesn't have signs of things to say. It's just like you walk in there and you know what it's called. And it's just, it's very funny, because some of the doors were closed, but you just walk through. And I remember Jesus just taking me by the hand. And as I was walking through this particular room, it was just like rainbows of colours just swept across, like all across my face, all across my body. It was like you see the rainbow. It was kind of like that, but it was just streaming down like streamers. The glory was so intensifying. In fact, I felt like I was melting. And in that, I could see that I was actually standing in puddles. I was actually standing in water. And I said to Jesus, "What is this water?" And he says, "These are the tears of the Father. This is Abba right now, as he's crying over his children. He's crying over the brokenness. He's crying over the things that he desires for his people to rise up in." And I tell you what, I just fell to the floor. I remember actually falling onto this floor, and I actually felt like I actually nearly went through it. And Jesus had to pick me back up. And I remember looking around, and I could see God far off in the distance. I could see there was 24 elders sitting right at the back of the room. And this room just kept changing colours. Like there's different parts of this room. I can't go through all this room tonight because it's actually full of so much stuff. And as I was walking through this room, I could see the heartbeat of God that was just beating. It was actually, you could hear a rhythm. And this rhythm, it just kept changing in motion. Like the further I stepped in, this vibration started to happen. In fact, my body was moving into this vibration, which I had no control over. But it actually felt a part of me. It actually started to move in a vibration that started to tremor. And I could see from heaven right directly to earth, I could actually see God's love being poured out on earth. And I could see in this room, this is what I want to talk about tonight. As I was there in that room and I was looking down, I actually could see this portal that opened up. And I actually stood in between the passion room and this portal. I was right in the middle of it. And Jesus was standing right next to me. And as I was standing in this portal, I could see the rocks crying out. I could see the animals literally praising God. I could see that the trees were just groaning for the presence of God because the earth wasn't filled with his presence. It wasn't filled with his body of Christ rising up. And it was filled with so much compassion that, you know, when that scripture says the rocks will cry out, it was literally that actually came to life for me at that time. And as I was going through this portal, I was actually getting drawn up and down through this portal. I could see angels ascending and descending, just coming and gathering around me as I was going up and down this portal. And as I was going down, up, down this portal, I could see, I actually went in time, and actually could see some things that Paul did. And as Paul was walking across the land, I could actually see things starting to shift in the atmosphere as he walked. And as he walked, I could see like a puff of dust come up. And in that dust, it actually had every bit of presence of God. And in fact, as that dust spread out onto his shoes and went off into the other lands, people were just getting transformed just by that, just because of the presence of God in that man. And then all of a sudden, I went back into the present. In the same portal, I was in this same portal that shifted over this way, and it shifted back over into this atmosphere, just changed again. I was actually literally in the present day at this time. And I could see people just walking on the land, and God was showing me that the impact wasn't as great, that the sound didn't have the vibration that it had when Paul was walking across the land. Now, I even saw Peter do the same thing. I remember looking at Jesus' face saying, "Oh, what's this all about?" And he's saying that we carry the vibration of heaven, that literally when God poured his breath into us, it's actually a vibration as well. And in fact, as he pours that breath into it, it actually rattles your bones. As it rattles your bones, that's why when we're under his presence and we get so consumed, we can't control it because our bones are rattled. And this is why when we need to stand in the presence of God, we need to say, "Arise, dead bones, come to life," because they need to come into agreement because we have control over every movement that happens. And as I got lifted back into this portal, and I went through many other portals in that room, it just like it went into a still of time. Everything just sort of stopped in motion. And it was just, it's hard to explain, but it was just like everything stopped. Everything just went silent. Even though you could hear all heaven crying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," you could hear, but it was just like everything was in slow motion. I went through many other things, but I really feel that's where I need to speak to tonight. The last thing that I did before I left heaven, now I went through many other chambers, many other rooms, many other realms actually. But the thing that Jesus did to me, I remember standing, I was back into the inner courts again, and Jesus was standing before me. I could feel the power of God literally just beside me. I was so drawn to that presence, so drawn to just wanting to be there, so drawn, just wanting to stay. And yet I knew that at that moment, God said to me, Mark, it's time. And then Jesus is staring and goes, Mark, it's not time for you to stay here yet. And I knew that. I knew that God wanted me to come back. And he left me with these words. He says, Mark, I want you to come back and release the power of first love. And in that passion room, that was the power of first love, where God is actually pouring in the flame of his breath. And he's still pouring into us. See, that breath doesn't just stop once. It's a continuation flow of the breath of God. And in fact, you actually have the ability to raise the dead because you have the breath of God. And that's why that happens all over the world. It's going to happen here. And I remember as Jesus spoke that, I actually felt the breath of God literally be poured in with an incredible, intense force. And I remember instantly waking up in the ambulance. I think I gave the ambulance guy such a heart attack. and I knew things because I forgot what happened to my body. And I remember coughing up blood instantly, and it was not pretty colour blood. And I thought, gee, things aren't that good. and the guy is rushing around doing all their things, and this guy was starting to stress out in the back of the ambulance. I said to him, now, I couldn't speak properly because I had all my thing, but I actually spoke. I said to him, it's okay, God has got me. And the guy just settled down, and he just relaxed, put all the things on I need to do, and then they rushed me off. I was living in Castle, Maine at the time, and which is kind of like 2 hours away from Melbourne, if you've been to Melbourne or know of Melbourne. So they rushed me they took me to Bendigo first, and I said, I'll just take him to Melbourne, there's nothing they can do. So they took me to Melbourne, and they rushed me through that night. Now, I actually had a quick surgery that night just to sew up the bits that were really leaking. And I had patches all over my face, as I can remember. I had awesome staff, and it just so happened. I don't know how this happened, but a surgeon from America flew in 2 days before, and he was a neurosurgeon. And he was also he brought a facial team with him. And actually wanted to try out this new thing that happened. All they needed was a patient. And I remember going through. I had really good nurses. And it was at the time, I don't know if you ever had ER, the series over here. All the nurses say, it's just like ER, you're okay, you're safe. I'm trying to think, well, that show didn't look safe. But it's just like I had really good staff. Like I was the youngest person in that hospital. I was 20 at the time. For some reason, I was just the youngest in that hospital. They put me through a few intense things. They actually thought I was brain dead already. They already thought that even though I communicated to people, they just didn't believe it was going to last. And even if I did communicate, it was just like they were deaf or something. I don't know, but maybe I wasn't speaking properly. I don't know. It sounded like I was talking. but I could talk to the nurses fine. Like, they understood what I was saying. So I just thought the doctors did too. And so they took me on the third day. They took me through an emergency surgery because they couldn't. They had to wait for this equipment to fly from America. So obviously they got pretty quick and got that done. And as they did that the third day, so that was a patch-up job where they just put things in so it really didn't leak more. And I remember waking up in this particular room because I kept going to so many rooms, I never knew where I was. And the lady, one of the nurses says, okay, let's go through the shower. And so I did all that stuff. And she goes, I don't think you want to look in the mirror, you might faint. And she's holding me up because I couldn't walk because I was just so spaced out. Like, okay. And I walked up and I said, no, I want to have a look in the mirror. And I looked into the mirror and I saw no face. I saw no eyes, I saw no nose, I just saw a flat object in front of me. And it was all blue and black. And I just thought, wow. And I thought, and she goes, do you want to sit down? I said, yeah, I think I do. It's so funny now, but it wasn't then. And as she wheeled me back into bed, it's just like, I just realised the power of God. And she said, I just don't even know how you're breathing. Because they actually had to put a trachea. They put that. It was actually still stuck in me for some reason. And as she pulled it out and did whatever she did, I could actually breathe. And yet my lungs were all collapsed, all in here. Yeah, I could still breathe. And they put me through the last surgery, and I can't remember how many days. I lost track a little bit. And that was probably the hardest surgery. They used to call me Tyson because it looked like I'd been around with Tyson and didn't turn out too well. And I was on the theatre, and I remember thinking, oh boy, this is pretty scary. Actually starting to, the first part of me, so I never had any fear at all. Like, I just knew God had me. I wasn't afraid of what was going to happen. I was actually afraid of what they were going to do. And I'm looking at all these teams, and when you see all these people with masks, it looks pretty scary. And I said, oh God, please just hold me, just hold me. And I remember he tried to make me count backwards, and I wouldn't count backwards. I was very stubborn. But I didn't even get to count because I was out anyway. But I remember halfway through the operation, I actually went back to heaven. And I was actually standing, this time I was actually standing in a realm right literally above heaven and earth. So it actually wasn't entry into heaven. I was actually in the realm, right surfing above heaven and earth. I was looking down at my body and I could see them all rushing around trying to get me back into life again. And I saw them doing all this stuff. My face was a mess. I couldn't believe what they'd done to And I just saw things pulled out here and there. It gave me quite a fright. Then God said to me, it's okay, I just need to take you out because this was painful. And as he took me out, I remember the breath came back into me again. And then all of a sudden I woke up in that body, but I didn't feel any pain. I actually could see them working on me, on my face. I could see them working on my jaw. I could see them sewing up the last bits up here. I could see them working on the back of my head. And then all of a sudden, I just remember being out and waking up in the, just waking out on the other side. And that's where my mother was, right standing over me. That's the first time I remember waking up. And I could hear the nurses rushing around saying, he's awake, he's awake. I think they were expecting me not to be awake. And I remember the pain was so excruciating. It's the first time I experienced pain for the whole journey. And I remember the pain was so excruciating. I remember saying to God, okay, you can take me home now. And as I said that, I could hear my mother praying. Now, she wasn't praying out loud, vocally. She was praying out of the Spirit. I could hear the Spirit pick up this prayer. And I heard it literally. And I heard her say, God, don't take him. Don't take him now. And as she spoke these things, I heard the power of God say, directly back to her. Now, she never heard this. She goes, I'm not going to take him. He belongs here. And as he responded in there, I felt the breath, because only half of my breath went away. I still felt another immersion of that breath being poured back in. Now, I had a few, 3 days after that, where I was a little bit patchy. I couldn't breathe. And I literally couldn't breathe at all. I felt like I was choking all the time. And there's only so much morphine you can take. And all that kind of stuff. And I said to God, I've had enough of this. My mother wasn't there at the time. And I got out of bed, which I couldn't breathe, and they didn't like me getting out of bed because they reckon I couldn't walk. And I remember getting out of bed, and I just went to the floor. Not because things were bad, because I just wanted God. And I flapped to the floor and I said, God, I've had enough of this. And God says, you can speak into your body to breathe. And I remember speaking the words that God gave me to speak. And all of a sudden I said, this breath belongs to God. And I have the authority that I can breathe. And I spoke that breath that I said, Lord, I have the authority. I speak to my breath. I believe you to breathe right now. And straight away my passages opened up, I could breathe. And then I said, I believe for my eyes to see. Now I could see, but it was all blurry. I said, I want full vision in the name of Jesus. I had full vision. And I remember speaking to my dead bones, and I said, dead bones, arise, I want to walk. And I got up out of that bed and I started walking around. They got such a fright. I think they got more of a fright than me. I'm walking around, I'm seeing like all these older people in the room, thinking, oh, gee, this is different. And I'm thinking, I didn't know where I was actually, in the sense where like what part of ward I was in. I knew where I was, but I didn't know like what section I was in. And that's when the doctors came in, quickly jumped me back into bed, and they had in front of me. They just seen that happen, and it was like moments later they had booked me into rehab, where they said that this man's a vegetable. He'll have no motor skills. He'll have no, he won't be able to have a thought pattern. He won't be able to think for himself. He'll probably be the rest of his life in a wheelchair, in a disability of some sort. And they gave me a license. They're talking right this in front of me. They said, you have probably 3 months to live. And they booked me into these things. And actually, I was meant to go the third day that I was meant to go to this particular clinic where they assess you. And they actually, I went to this clinic, which they assessed me, and they checked all my brain vitals and all that. And I just went mute for a while. And and they checked my vitals and they said all this stuff. He's got no brain waves. He's got no, the cells have all depleted. We're probably going to give him probably a couple of months if he's lucky. There's no brain activity that's happening in there except for this funny looking thing in the middle, which they had no idea what it was. And in fact, they actually wanted to open me up to find out what it was. They thought they left something behind, I think. And this guy's giving this assessment, and they took me back to the ward, and the doctors are so interested because I'm their first test case. And they said, what have we found here? And they were so curious about this x-ray with this funny thing in my head and stuff like that. And they're talking about opening. And I said, I don't need to be opened up. I'm actually 100% fine. I just need to be resting. And the doctors turned around and said, no, that wasn't him. So they just ignored me. And I said, I remember waving to him and says, hello, I'm actually okay. I understand what you're saying. I said, but my God is bigger than the circumstance I'm in. And so they looked at me and thought, wait a minute, there's something happened here. And they took another x-ray of my head and they could see this thing that kept flittering, like it's like a little, what that they called it, a fire, a little flickering fire. And I actually laughed, which was really painful because I had my jaw wired at the time. I think I actually stretched some of the little things that I had. I went through a few days of a little bit of depression because I actually really wanted to get out. I'd had enough. And they said to me, if you can't walk around the ward more than 5 times, then we'll probably think about you leaving. And I had this thing at the start of this week. I was there for 2 weeks at this stage. And I said to God, I want to leave this week, which I was entering into the third week. I said, I really want to leave. And God said to me, I'll show you what to do. And I walked around the thing 5 times, like I said, and they said, oh, no, it's not enough. You're still unbalanced. And so I decided to go outside without telling anyone. I hopped out of the bed. The nurses saw me go down. They were so awesome. They just let me. And one of this nurse followed me down, saw me go around underneath upstairs, threw all the list, and I forgot what number I was on. And she saw me, so she took me back. And then the doctors came in 3 days later and said, okay, you can go home on Friday. And I was out of hospital in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from the beginning to the end. And they filled my head with titanium right from the back to the front to the jaw. I don't know what they've done to the nose, but it's full of titanium, all that stuff. And I remember one of the things that God had really put in my heart when I got there. I went through many trials. I'm not going to go through all that because it's a really long episode. But the thing I really want you to talk about, as I was talking about how the breath of God is in you, how the vibration of God is literally within you, like when I could see, I could see Paul walking and he could see the dust. Actually, even the dust agreed with him. That's the authority that we're in now. That's the power that we're in now. And we've got to break our mindsets of how it's being done before. We've got to break our mindsets of how we think it is, because what we think it is, it isn't. Because God is a God who's out of the box, and there is no fence in God. And in fact, we're in a day where we're going to be walking in the garden from the very moment that Adam was breathed into existence. That's what I believe. And I believe that we are going to have that connection with God, and I believe a lot of us are getting there. I've got a long way to go. But I want to have the full immersion of what I was breathed and breathed in from that birth, from that moment where God says, I want you. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to be working out of. Because that's first love. And I remember I used to do music. I used to play the guitar at home. It has always been a passion of mine. And my mum's a music teacher, and she plays the piano and all that kind of stuff. Now, I never learnt from my mum because we had too many fights. I didn't like how she played, and she didn't like how I played. Even though she was a teacher, I thought I knew. And there's one particular time where it was a few weeks after, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, I really want to sing again, because the thing that I had really issues with was when I was, before I had the accident, I was just freely to play and sing, but when I came back from heaven, I just couldn't do that. It just like my brain just couldn't comprehend picking up the guitar and playing. It's like I tried to sing, but when I sang, I had blood flowing out of my throat. And I'd be coughing up blood all the time. And it hurt quite a lot too. And I remember just kneeling and just dropping to the floor and I said, God, I want to experience the same presence that I experienced in heaven. And again, God used this simple term. He said, speak to your bones to arise. So I spoke to my dead bones. I said, arise. And I command my voice to be the angelic voice of heaven. Yeah, I command my hand to be the sound wave of God. And I remember saying that, and I probably said it in a different way than what I said today, because I got a different revelation. But it was in that authority still. And as I tried to sing, because I had some singing teachers lessons that I recorded for some silly reason, and I tried to sing one note that was from that tape. Now my mum was playing I had to do it in a time where my parents didn't hear me because I wasn't allowed to do this stuff. They had very strict rules. They had like a list of things that I wasn't allowed to do. Singing was one of them, and so the door was shut, and for some reason, the person that she was teaching got really, really loud. I thought, all right, this is my chance. So I heard this note, and I tried to sing, and this blood just poured out even more. I said, God, do I stop? What's going on? And God says, how much do you want this? How much do you want this? I said, God, I want it with everything. I want it with everything. I didn't care. I'm not talking about a public thing that I wanted. I just wanted it with him. Yeah, I didn't want it in a public forum. I just wanted it with him, one-on-one. You know, I didn't expect anything else to come from it. And I remember saying, God, I want this really bad. Now, it's about 3 days I kept doing this. And every time I wanted to try this voice thing, someone was playing in a lesson really loud. Now, that's not normal for my mum. And it got louder on the third day, which is interesting, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. My voice broke. And all of a sudden, this voice just came from heaven that I actually hadn't heard in me. And all of a sudden, it actually got louder and louder. It got stronger and stronger. And then all of a sudden, I started playing the guitar like I'd never played the guitar before. Now, I learned the guitar through the Holy Spirit. But it was like this acceleration and increase. It just filled it. And I started playing notes, which I don't know what I'm playing. I don't know. I have no idea what key I'm in. You know, all I know is the vibration of heaven. And I'm saying to you tonight that you can have that. You don't have to go to heaven to receive that. It's already in you. It's already a part of you. And I want to release that over you tonight. And that's what I'm here to talk about tonight. Exactly that. Releasing the fire of first love. That's what we're doing at the beginning. I had no idea what I was going to do tonight until I stood in the place. This is where the breakthrough that God says he has over this place. That there is a breaker anointing in this place. That is going to stretch open into other churches, and you're going to be like the forerunners for this breakthrough. Hallelujah. And it's going to hit even the bigger churches. It's going to hit even down in the streets and in the malls. In fact, this is actually a real nation thing. Yeah, and you have this a breaker anointing that is going to do phenomenal things. Actually, things that haven't even been heard or mentioned of. Things yet to come, but they're actually here now. All you need to do is actually take the step. And in fact, I encourage you when you're at home and you're in your prayer life, do you say, God, I take the step? I do that a lot because it's actually a motion that actually God agrees with. Yes, yes. You know, because everything you do with your body comes in alignment with God because you have the authority. Yes. And he wants you to carry that authority. He doesn't want you to be this weak person because you're not a weak person. Because the thing is, the difference between humble and being proud is a humble heart is yielded to God. They're not worried about what if, what could, what do they think? A humbled heart says, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, and does exactly what the Father says. Doesn't go any further, even if you have nothing. You just have one thing to give somebody. Don't look for the next thing. Just do the one thing. He'll show you if there's a next thing. Yeah. Don't add. Don't increase something of yourself. Just let God manifest in you. Yeah. And that's what I want to release tonight. So if you're hungry for that, I just want you to raise your hands to God. Don't look to me. This is between you and God right now. Right now, just seek Him with your own heart. Just take your eyes off me. Please take me out of this right now. However you speak to God, speak to Him now. Lord, right now, with every hand that is raised, I speak to their bodies. I speak to their bones. Dead bones, arise in the name of Jesus. I pray for an acceleration of the fire of first love to be birthed in the heart, into motion. I speak it into motion now in the name of Jesus. I pray for new revelations to be poured in, Lord God. New visions, new dreams. Lord God, I pray for this acceleration to be poured in, Lord God, and breaking the mold of every mindset. Lord, I pray that there will be a greater intensifying desire for the things unseen. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that there will be intercessors. That, Lord God, will intercede for things that are just breaking open with this a breaker anointing right now. Lord, I pray for the seers to see beyond anything that this earth has ever seen. In fact, they'll be able to go into the realms of heaven and pull it down right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I release the breath of your Holy Spirit, the breath of the Father upon everyone right now. I release that. The fullness, Lord God, the full breath of heaven on earth. In fact, I really feel God saying to do right now, stand up and I want you to step in. God is saying right now, stand up. When I say this, I want you to step in. In Jesus' name, we release your fire. Step in now. Step into the fire. Just let God do his thing. This is not about me. This is all God. In fact, God is saying he's going to have an intensifying fire. And God is saying, be careful not to contain or control this. This is so precious. Don't be afraid to keep asking right now, because God is right in the mood for you to receive. Whatever your desire is, what thing you want to step in, the things that you're seeing right now is what God is wanting you to ask for. That's the key. What are you really desiring? What are you actually really wanting God to answer? What is it in the spirit? Where do you want to walk in the spirit? Where do you want to go? That's what he's asking you. Tell him, because he wants you to speak it, because when you speak it, it actually releases it into motion. And when it releases into motion, it becomes a truth. It becomes a fact. It actually releases heaven. Lord God, we receive your impartation of your first love fire. That we want to walk of heaven. That your will be done here in this place. That there's no turning back from this moment, God. Lord, we trust you in this, Lord. We hold on to you, Lord. Help us contain this move, God. Help us contain this move. We want to be containers, Lord. And release us. Help us be the releases, Lord. Help us see it in others to birth it, Lord. Help us raise us up this generation, young to old. This is a move of this generation right now, all of us. It's not about age, it's about now. We speak it now, Lord. And the key to contain this, to maintain your heart with God in this, I'm not talking about control, I'm not talking about containing His presence, I'm talking about staying in it, is letting Him come and hold you in His arms of love. That's where the power lies. That's where the power is. Because you don't have to do a thing. You just got to go to His arms of love and become a lover. Being a lover is a beautiful thing. It's a precious thing. Why don't you just say that to Him? I want to be a lover.
The Lord's saying that there are some in the room that are sick, and there's some in the room that are caught in, you know, sin that they can't get out of, and there's some in the room that are caught in hopeless situations, and the Lord's saying, don't yield to the circumstances or the situations, but yield to Him. You see, the reason we often don't get healed, or the reason, you know, is because we're yielding to the fear of the sickness, or to the fear of the stuff that's going wrong. And you've heard Mark tonight, all heaven is so real, and you've got nothing to lose. And it's like when I had cancer, the Lord just said the same thing to me, that if you just yield to me, don't worry about that stuff. Because, you know, if you live, you live in me. If you die in me. You've won. And so it's actually the power of healing is actually yielding to Him in the middle of it. And when you yield to the breath of God in the middle of it, when you yield to Him in the middle of your circumstances, whatever they may be right now, I just really want you to do that. I just want you to yield to Him. Even as Mark has said, just, you know, there's a yielding here right now. Holy Spirit, come, and we choose to yield to You. Lord, we're just ignoring our circumstances and our sickness right now, not that they're not real. We're just not going to look at them in this instant, Lord. Amen. We're going to step into Your breath, and I think Mark's going to sing something because I felt that he was after this. I just really feel that God is going to really heal people in this room tonight, not because somebody's going to lay hands on them, or somebody's going to speak a word of prophecy over them, but because He's here. And actually, you know, where His breath is, it's enough. It's enough. All you need is Him, and as you yield to Him in the room, that's where the power of healing comes. That's where the power of your finance comes. That's where the power of your family restoration comes. That's where the power of all that stuff comes. And I just invite you now, as Mark's going to sing something, I invite you to yield to the breath of God and allow Him to breathe on you.
You hold me. You love me. I'm safe in your love. You know me. You feel me. I'm safe in your love. I'm safe in your love. 'Cause I'm safe in your love. That's where I can yield. I'm safe in your love. Take me deeper to your love. 'Cause I've come to birth. So take me deeper to your love. 'Cause I won't be content. I won't be content. Lord, I yield to you, 'cause I won't be content by my circumstances, by all the other things around me. I won't be content, 'cause I won't be content.
Sing this, fill me up. I want you actually to let God fill you up. He's going to break away that mindset of fear, because in His love there is no fear.
Fill me up. Fill me up with your fire. Fill me up, fill me up with your fire. Fill me up, fill me up with your fire. Fill me up, fill me up. Fire, fill me up, fill me up with your fire, fill me up, fill me up with your fire, fire. Fill me up with your fire.
don't know if there's anyone in the room here who actually doesn't know Jesus, but can I just tell you, you're in a safe place. If you want to meet Jesus for the first time tonight, if you're willing just to come to the front right now, don't be afraid, because we love you. And why I say come down the front is because you're stepping in a declaration to God saying, I'm willing to follow you. If that's you tonight, please just come. Your heart cry right now. Fill me up. Fill me up. See your fire.
You know, there's been a deposit of something that is so beautiful. And the Lord said to me, he said, you're going to think differently. You're going to get more revelation. Something's been deposited where our minds have shifted tonight.
Yes.
And we need a shift in the spirit, don't we? And I just feel that God is, we're going to have more visions, you know, that seer anointing. Things are going to be opened up. And I just love the bit where, you know, where Paul, where he walked the dust. And I just, that's what I just claim for, that where I walked, that the dust of heaven will just be with us. You know, we're going to make an impact. This world needs us out there to take this intimacy that we've walked tonight. And I know that each one of you has been introduced more to Jesus than we've ever had before. And introduced more to the Father, Daddy God. And the Holy Spirit, he's just so here. And I, you know, Mark, I just thank you for what you carry and what you've been through, but you've touched us here in Hamilton and New Zealand, and you've been obedient, and we just thank you that this is a divine appointment tonight. And I just know that we've shifted. I know that we've been touched with heaven, and I felt mantles falling as you were asking for it. I just sensed it in the spirit. I felt it. The angelic realm in this room is just incredible. Of the anointing of heaven. We've touched heaven. You know, I believe we're on holy ground. And I just, you know, it's just awesome. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, we want to be more like you. We thank you that the great I am is in us. And Lord, I felt that. I felt you just coming in me and just being one. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, as things were touched tonight, and Lord, things were broken tonight, that, Lord, we don't walk back into those ways. But, Lord, we pray that what's been spoken and sung tonight will be imprinted on our minds, heart, and souls, that we will remember tonight, that, Lord, we will just be touched tonight, that we will never go back. And Lord, we thank you that we have the authority to talk to the dry bones, for the bones to come in alignment, for the army to rise up. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, this army will rise up with a new authority in the Spirit, saying that they're going to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Lord, let this Hamilton be touched with the fire that we've received tonight. Lord, let this fire continue to burn. Let it continue to be just ignited in us. Lord, don't let us be stagnated, but Lord, let the fire of your presence just pour out on us even more. Keep us alive in the fire, Lord. Don't let it go out. And Lord, I pray right now, I just feel God saying that what you've touched tonight is going to touch your families and going to touch your neighbours, and the prodigals are going to come home. I'm in the prophetic now. The prodigals are going to come home because what you've caught tonight, they're going to see and feel a different atmosphere. We're going to carry a different atmosphere. We're not going to be the same again. We caught something that is really of heaven, that heaven is on us and through us and over us. And Lord, we pray that where we walk, that we will change the atmosphere. And Lord, the prodigals will come home. Lord, our siblings will come into the kingdom. Lord, our parents will come back and know you. Lord, let it be touched. Lord, let this be a start of new evangelism. Lord, a start of seeing in the Spirit. A start, Lord, of a seer anointing, intercession, and all the anointings to rise up in the Spirit. And I agree with everybody that has asked for something tonight. I just say, amen, and I agree what you have called down from heaven tonight. I just say amen, amen, and amen again that you will receive what you've called out. Wow, and the anointing. Wow. Wow, Lord, I just pray that you seal the work that you have done tonight. You seal it with the blood of Jesus. Lord, your blood is so precious. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, our minds will be upon you on heavenly things. That, Lord, we will walk in the heavenlies and, Lord, see things that we've never seen before. Oh, Lord, Lord, let your anointing fall again afresh. Don't let us lose it. Oh, God, give us dreams tonight. Give us new vision. Open up that realm of the heavenly realm. Lord, do not let us fear of going in there, but just say, yes, we want to take back the ground that the enemy has stolen. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Should we just give the Holy Spirit and the Lord and the Father a real good clap offering?